betrayed by somebody or things that way. And it's hard. Listen, it's hard to get over those things, aren't they? Right? It really is. But you know, if we don't get over them, right, bitterness sinks in. And when bitterness sets in, number one, it makes us miserable. And watch this. The person that hurt you gets off scot-free. They're just living their life. Right? Some of them are in the grave. And there's still bitterness. Right? And they don't know what's going on. And it, watch, at the end of it, it's affecting you. It's affecting you. And thankfully, the Word of God here has an answer for those that are going through times of what we're looking at last week and this week, times of depression maybe. Sometimes depression sinks in and takes over, and you just can't get out of that funk. You just can't get out of that valley. You just can't get out of that dark time. And it seems like there'll never be a better day, right? It seems like it's always going to be this way. It's never going to get better. It's never going to be anything better than what I've known it. And we saw last week several outward expressions, visible manifestations of what when depression has come into your life. One of the things we saw was this inability to sleep. Sometimes people's sleep patterns get off. They can't fall asleep. They can't. Their mind is racing all the time. The other end of that is not only the inability to sleep, but they just sleep too much. They don't want to get up. They don't want to face life. I've gone through some pretty deep waters, and I'll tell you what. You know what I looked forward to was bedtime. You know why? Because I realized there were 6 hours of the night, 5 hours of the day, I didn't have to think about anything. I could just shut. I mean, I couldn't wait to go to sleep at times. And then the alarm would go off or whatever, and you had to get up again, right? And you're like, oh, now I got to think about everything again. You know what that is? It can be a sign of a little bit of depression. Inarticulate speech. You don't even know how to voice what you're feeling. You don't even know how to express what's going on in your life and the darkness and the things that's going on over you. You're having trouble getting through that, and like right now, I'm kind of having trouble getting my words out. And so, anyway, we okay back there? Okay. Speech, I'm having trouble here. Sight. Okay. Begin looking at things wrong. Right? You begin looking at things through your own eyes, and you begin to imagine things as you think they are, and they're not really that way, right? This inundation of sorrow, just this overarching over you all the time, just sadness and sorrow, and then eventually an intense type of a stress comes on. If you'd find your way in Psalm 77, we're going to see this outlined. We saw at the beginning of this last week, outlined in this psalm of a man named Asaph. Asaph. And if you notice in verse 1, he said, I cried unto God with my voice. Psalm 77. This is Sunday school, so I'll give you a little tidbit of information, like a school, not a school marm. I'm not a school marm, but school teacher. Psalms are individual psalms. It's not books. People say, turn to the book, or it's not chapters, right? Psalm chapter 77. Well, they're not chapters. They're all individual psalms. They're all individual songs. So we turn to the 77th psalm. How do you like that? Now you can go out there and you can correct all sorts of people when you hear it. Sound really smart. So that'd be good. So anyway, he said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Now, remember this when you're going through the times of depression. If you're a child of God here this morning, God hears you. He hears you. He knows where you are. He is aware of what's going on in your life. He has allowed at times, he allows what is going on in your life. There's always a purpose behind everything that is going on in your life. Nothing is just arbitrary. Nothing is just circumstances and things like that. He is completely aware of what is going on. And he said, he gave ear unto me. In the day, verse 2, of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. I ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And you see here, he is talking about his trouble. In this deep trouble that he's going to. What a wonderful thing is here. In the depth of his trouble, though, the difference is he sought the Lord. You know, sadly, those that don't know the Lord, that have never been born again of the Spirit of God, they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The sad thing is depression comes with to them as it comes to us, as it comes to everybody. And so often those outside of Jesus Christ, they will go to the alcohol, they'll go to the drugs, they'll go to the entertainment, they'll go to something to escape the pain. And unfortunately, what you'll find out is it always makes it worse. I had somebody tell me not too long ago, and he said about a year or so ago, he was working at my house, and he talked about just the tragedy of his wife leaving, and he said, I ended up at the bar because I didn't want to go home every night, and it just wasted the night away at the bar, and when I got home, it was still empty, and it just made it all worse. It never made anything better. It just made it worse. And it does. It always will. And he says here, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. That is the place to go. That is where we ought to go. Seek God. In verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. Now notice here, he's going into a complaining phase, right? I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Church, you've heard me say it many times, right? Complain to God. It's okay. God's aware. You can complain to God. He knows. He knows what he already knows what's on your heart. Why would you hold it back? Right? We go with reverence and we go with respect, absolutely. But you know what'll happen? You'll find out when you complain to the Lord, He will temper the complaining with truth. And you'll see at the end of the psalm where it leads you. It leads you to joy. It leads you to confidence. But he said here, I was troubled, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. He's in a really deep spot. He says, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled, I can't speak. There it is. The incorrect sight, the inarticulate speech. He can't express what's going on in his life. It's so bad. He said, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. Now, have you ever been there? When you're in the dark times and all you do is look in the past and you're like, if only I could go back to this time, right? If only. Yeah. If only I could go back to the days when that screen door had that screech and the slam when it slammed on the way out, right? Clank, right? Slam. Right? Those were good days, weren't they? There was no air conditioning in the house. You're sweating like a stuck hog, right? I mean, the sound of the windows are up and the doors are clanging and you're coming in. And you look back at those times, you look like, oh, those were easy. Those were wonderful days. Those were simple days, right? When you go through dark times, when you go through depression, you'll begin to look back at days. But you know what you forget, though? Here's what happens when you look back. The bad is always worse than it was and the good is never as good as it was. Right? Because we're looking back for a different purpose. We're looking back to trying to find, to try to console ourselves and to try to find some rest. And he said, I look back, I call to remembrance, verse 6, my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. He said, verse 5, I have considered the days of old and years of ancient times. Remember what the children of Israel did? They said, if we could only go back to the leeks and the onions. Here they were out in the wilderness, headed to their promised land, and they're going through trials. Friend, you don't get out of life without trials, right? Remember we talked about disillusionment? It is when we view things in a wrong way, we get disillusioned. We expect, you know, for some reason, somebody tells you, right? Oh, you're a Christian now? Well, there goes your problems, right? You'll never have a problem again. You'll never have sickness again. You know, if you're right with God, you wouldn't get sick. Wow. I'll tell you what, the Apostle Paul was wicked, huh? Right? He had some problems. Amen. And people tell you these things, and what happens? Disillusionment comes along, and you get depressed. Because you're like, ugh, I thought life was going to be like a bed of roses and no problem. And well, no, somebody didn't tell you the truth, right? And life is full of trouble, and life is full of trials because sin has come into the world. It has destroyed everything, and we are living in an awful world. It doesn't take, listen, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look around. Know that this world's pretty messed up, right? It's pretty messed up. It's not nice. People aren't nice, right? You see what people do to one another. It's not a nice place. And if you're here today and you've been saved, you are a saved child of God, you've been born again, we still live in the same world as everybody else, and we experience the same troubles. The difference is, as Asaph is going to figure out, is who our source is and where we get to go in the times of these dark times. So there's sorrow in this stress. You see the cause of depression here? I told you last week it was a distorted view of God. It was bitterness towards God, and it was doubt towards God. This is where the depression comes in. A wrong view of who God is. Some people paint God a certain way, and that's not who He is. Do you know God is so loving? He is so loving that He will discipline. Right? You know what the Bible says about a man who won't discipline his son? The Bible says explicitly, he hates him. He hates his son if he doesn't discipline him. Right? No, God is love, and God is compassionate, and God is loving, and He loves you, and He wants you, but within that love is discipline and correction and chastisement. But you can get a distorted view of God, like nothing negative. He would never allow anything negative to come into your life, but He does, right? Can I tell you? You know what makes gold worth more money once you dig it out of the ground? Anybody know? Right? Fire. Heat. Can I tell you, you ever burn yourself? Doesn't feel good. It's painful. It's painful. Grab onto something hot, right? Always love changing spark plugs in an old truck. And yeah, stupid, you know, me, you know. Oh, yeah. You just drove, 50 miles and you shut it off. And you stuck your hand down in there on the headers or on the manifold, whatever you had. And, the smell of burning skin is an interesting smell, right? And heat hurts, right? It is. And God puts heat into our life, and we don't like it. But listen, it's to purify. It's to get the impurities out of our life. There's a purpose behind it. But we can get a distorted view of God, and bitterness will sink in. Can I tell you what most people's problem is in life and their discouragement? If they would really, I'm telling you, remember, be honest with God. If they would really be honest with God, they would go to Him and tell Him exactly what's going on by saying, God, I'm bitter towards You right now. You really think you're going to surprise Him? You think you're going to hear God go, oh, what? We need to talk about this. All right. We need to have a conversation. He knows. He knows your heart better than you know your heart. I don't even know my own heart. Right? Why? It's deceitful and wicked above all else, desperately wicked. Jeremiah says, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't. When you sense that bitterness, when you sit in your times of depression, it is one of the best things you can do is go before God and just tell Him, I'm not happy right now, and I know I'm getting bitter, and I know my bitterness is towards You. Why? Because you had a distorted view of God, and you expected that God wouldn't allow something to come into your life. God wouldn't allow some trouble to come in your life. God wouldn't allow your children to make the choices that they made. God surely wouldn't allow, the finances to get where they've gotten, or to allow this bad thing to come into our life. Certainly God wouldn't have allowed this, and why has He allowed it? Maybe because He hates me, or maybe because of this, or maybe because, here's what happens next, begin to doubt Him and say, well, maybe because He doesn't even care, He doesn't even exist at all. I mean, hey, this is what happens with depression. This is what brings on the depression, right? Bitterness, a distorted view of God, and doubt about Him. Pretty bleak, isn't it? Like, well, hey, happy Mother's Day. This is wonderful. Yeah, thanks a lot. Right? It would be brutal if we ended there, right? But that's not where we end. I want to show you where we end in the 77th Psalm. You might be here this morning, the sun is shining brightly, but inside it's as dark as could be. Depression, you are living in depression, you're living in discouragement. I'm telling you, you are wondering where God is. There's a bitterness that is deep down inside of you because of the way that life has turned out. It is not how you expected it to turn out. And let me say this too, let me time out here. some of the things that I deal with in life and some of the things that you deal with in life are not because of God, but they're because of my own or your own. Let me just deal with me. They're because of my own stupid decisions, okay? We can't put everything on God, all right? Or on Satan. Sometimes Satan doesn't have to do anything against us because we're doing it all against ourselves, right? And just silliness. So I'm not talking about that, okay? We just make some bad decisions sometimes, and we're living in those consequences. But I'm talking about those things that you thought, I've done everything right. How did this come? I've tried to serve God. How did this come? I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, and this happens. I'm talking about those times, and the bitterness, and it can sink in. I'm going to show you the cure and spend the rest of this time. We've only got about an hour and a half left here about the cure for depression. You're like, you just, this is not going to help my depression, another hour and a half of this. What we need to do to cure depression, number one, is to recall God's blessing. Recall God's blessing. Look at verse 10 of the 77th Psalm. For nine verses here, Asaph has been pouring out his emotions and his feelings. Yeah. He's just pouring everything out to God. He's writing away. I don't know if we've got a pen. I don't know if you can see him here. He's writing all of this down. And I know he was left-handed. But he's writing all of this down. And he's going through and he's pouring his heart out. Maybe the tears are flowing. Maybe he's just, the frustration is there. And he gets, and maybe verse 9, look what it says here at the end, Selah. See, look at verse 9. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And he writes down, Selah. It means chew on this for a little while. And he's thinking about it. Can you see him? He's just meditating on this. And he picks his pen up in verse 10. And he writes, and I said, this is my infirmity, but, look at this, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Do you see the turn in his attitude? He's pouring his heart out to God. He's writing it out. His distortion, his depression and everything that he has, looking the way he's looking at life wrong and in a bad way that's brought the depression about his life. And something turns the corner in verse 10 after he pours his heart out to God. I'll tell you what, this will happen in your life. If you pour your heart out to God and be honest with Him, when you get it all out, right? When you get it all out, you'll watch the turn. You'll meditate it on for a little while, and the Holy Spirit of God will come back. It'll begin to bring to your memory the goodness of God. Notice what he says here. He looked back in verse 10. He said, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Right. He said, what I wrote in these last nine verses, it was true. This is exactly how I felt. Watch. But the way I felt is not the truth of who God is. Facts over feelings. Facts over feelings. Don't dwell on the feelings. Always go back to the facts. Look at verse 8. I will remember the years of the right hand. This word right hand, it means when it speaks of God, the right hand of God, it's speaking of God's power, of His deliverance, of His blessing, of His strength, and of His salvation. Asaph is looking back over his life. Even though he's in a dark time today, he has looked back and he remembers the time that God had delivered him. He remembers the time that God's hand of power was there for him. He remembers the time of God's blessing on his life and strength in his life. He remembers the time of God's salvation. Hey, one of the greatest things you can do, listen, to help yourself out, is to recall the day in the depths of your despair, is to look back and recall the day that Jesus rescued you and saved you and made you an eternal Son of God. Oh boy, I tell you what, that'll help you out. Amen. It will. It'll help you out. That's a blessing of God. It is the blessing of God. You can look back at that. You should look back at the times that God answered prayer. Look back at the times that God delivered you out of bad situations. Look back at the times when you prayed for certain things and you asked God for certain things and they never came about. And you look back, you look back 10 years later and you go, boy, am I so glad He said no to that. I didn't know what I was asking for. Right? And you know what you see? You see the goodness of God. The goodness of God. See, we get so tunnel vision sometimes. When depression comes in, you look in the right, you're looking at right now. It's like you're looking at life, you're sitting in a closet with the door shut, and you just think this is all there is. And you forget maybe outside of that door is all of the blessings and the goodness filling up a room and filling up a house, right? And what we're living in right now is not a house that's, could you imagine like living in, what's a big house? What's a big house? Who's got a big house? Anybody got a big house?
2,000 square feet.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Can you imagine 2,000 square feet? And I'm telling you, it's full of the finest furniture, and it's full of a safe over here with, I don't know, just chump change, $20,000 sitting in the safe, right? I mean, you have no debt, and the furniture's beautiful, and the children are playing, and they're having fun, and all of these things, and everything's good. And you're sitting in the closet, dark, lights out, and you listen, and you're just like living here going, it's so awful, so awful, so awful. This is what depression does. All the while, if you just open the door, you can see everything that God's given you. Yeah. Yep. You got to realize, you got to look back. You got to recall the blessings of God right in the midst of it, right in the darkest time of it. Yeah. You got to tell yourself, God's good. God's been good to me. God has blessed me. Hey, listen, if I get out of this life in no better condition than I am right now, and I'm a child of God, this isn't the end of it. I have my eternal existence in the presence of a holy God who loves me and gave Himself for me and bought me and purchased my soul and wanted me and loves me and loves me and likes me. Right? How do you like that? He likes me. He likes you. The kids may say it this way. He's crazy about you. He's absolutely crazy about you. I'd like to remind you this morning, if I could draw a line around the wall, starting back here on this wall, and draw a line, I'd just follow that awful-looking trim up there, right? And follow it all the way around and draw it all the way around, okay? All the way around. It's a long line, isn't it? And then I come down and let's come down an inch and draw another one all the way around. An inch, draw another one. And now you imagine this. Every inch coming down, all the way down to the bottom of the floor, I'm drawing a line all the way around the room. Lines, 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 lines. See all the lines? Can you see them? You're like, no, you're weird. Okay, they're there, trust me. Yeah, you've got about 7.5 feet of every 1 inch lines. 7 feet, what's that? 84 inches. So you've got about 84 lines there. If I were to take a pen and just, let's start back over here where I started, right? And I were to take a pen and just draw a little dash on those lines, right? That would be your life, and the rest of those lines is eternity. And it's still not even, we still can't even grasp it. I thought the other day, these bugs that are born and live for 24 hours and die, it's like, what's the purpose of that, right? Can I tell you something? In the scope of eternity, our life is even shorter than that. If you're a child, if you've been born again, if you are a child of God, if you've been saved today, I've said it recently, it's come up a lot, and I'll say it again. This is the worst hell you will ever experience. This life is the worst hell you'll ever know. If you're not a child of God this morning, can I help you out here and warn you? This is the best heaven you'll ever know. Yeah. And you can fix that today. That's the good news. Recall God's blessing. Recall God's blessing. Remember God's works. Remember His works. Look at verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. Asaph has realized that meditating on the works of God is part of the cure for depression. Think about this. Just by God spoke it all into existence. If you want to hear something really, really fun, scientists are trying to come and they've been trying to understand. Okay, we understand atoms, right? It has a proton, a neutron, an electron, right? And although nobody's ever really seen an atom, it's not possible. But they can cast lasers or something. They can cast things at and they can see how they react and they know something's there, right? And they know that there within that nucleus of that atom, there's a proton, a neutron, and an electron. But as they get into the subatomic level, but getting even deeper and deeper and deeper into the what makes up this universe, they've come to understand, they've been trying to figure out what holds everything together. Why doesn't it just fly off, right? What holds all these atoms together? And the deeper they get, they're starting to realize nothing holds it together. That sounds exciting, right? Nothing holds the universe together. Can I remind you that the Bible says that it is held together by the word of His power? You know why the universe stays together? Because the God who spoke it into existence said, stay. I do this to my dog. Sit. Stay. 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 Right. And he'll stay for like 3 minutes. Not much power in my words, is there? Right? Yeah. But God, God spoke it all into existence. Think about how much He spoke into existence. Do you realize that planet Earth doesn't even show up in our galaxy? You get back far enough, you can't even see it anymore. Right? Our galaxy is 120,000 light years across. Do you know how long that goes? You travel, 100, and, travel 100, what is light? 186,000 miles per second. Yeah, 186,000. So get in a car, this would be awesome. Traveling 186,000 miles per second, and do that for 120,000 years, and you'll get just across our galaxy. And you know what? Our galaxy is one of billions within our solar system. Yeah. And we don't even know what other universes God may have created and what may be on there. We can't even fathom. And all He did was just say, let there be. And there was. Awesome. You know what helped your depression? Remember who God is and His works. The power of God, the ability of God, right? The ability of God. He remembered. He said, "I will meditate on all of Thy works and talk of Thy doings." So, what do? You recall His blessings. You recall His works, and watch this. Refocus your mind. Yeah, I've done this for you before. Do you know it's possible to think of other stuff? You think, I just can't get this off my mind. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. All right. You want me to prove it to you real quick? Ready? Here we go. Right. Think of an ice cream cone. Now a pickle. Now a car. Now think of a dog. Okay, a cat. Yeah. Let me ask you, how many were able to think of all of those things? Individually, did anybody go, I just can't get on to the next one. I'm stuck on dog. Well, I was because I didn't want to get to cat. But anyway, I just showed you. You can change your thinking when you want to. Right? I've told you this before. I have a relative that was, special forces. Seen some awful things, in his military service through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And he said one day, he goes, I just choose not to think about things. That's possible? Yes, it's possible. It's possible. It absolutely is. Refocus your mind. He said, I will meditate. That word meditate is to think on, right? To dwell on, to simmer in. I will meditate on all thy works and talk of thy doings. You know how you refocus your mind? Turn it back to the things of God. Turn it back to the Word of God. Think about, get a Bible verse and memorize it and meditate on it and search it through. Refocus your mind. Meditate on the goodness of God. Think of what God has done for you instead of your problems. You say, well, you just can't not think of your problems. Yeah, you can. How many have found out that thinking about your problems for 10 days in a row made him go away? Did they ever go away because you thought about them? You know what you did? You woke up the next day and they're still there. Thought about them all day long. You know what? They were still there the next day. Usually, what did Einstein say insanity was?
Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result.
That's insanity. So watch, if dwelling on the problem day in and day out doesn't make the problem go away, why don't you just try to dwell on something else? Amen. You say, well, I'm not saying we don't take responsibility and things we have to do. It's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is, if you're in a place of depression, just refocus your mind. Think about different things, right? You can go over Philippians, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely. I'm trying to remember these. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, right? Think on these things. I missed a few things, but you can go over to Philippians and look those up. But he said, think on these things. It is possible to change our thinking, to change our focus. Right? You know when you're thinking wrong? You know when the evidence is of wrong thinking is? When it takes you away from the Lord instead of draw you to Him. You notice Asaph went to the Lord. We're going to see this here in just a little bit, right? Hannah has a real problem. We're going to look at this here in just a few minutes here. Well, not maybe 30 minutes. Hannah had a problem, and she took her problem to the Lord. She took it to the Lord. Well, that'll help you out. You will see it does help her. But finally, let me show you this, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. This is the final step in rising above depression. Rejoice in the Lord. No matter how things look, we still have room to rejoice. Right? We still have place to praise God. You said, I don't have anything to praise Him for. I don't have anything to rejoice in, right? Do you have clothes? Say, thank you, Lord, I got clothes. Lord, thank you, I got shoes. Lord, thank you, I have somewhere to sleep tonight. Lord, thank you, I have a little something to eat today. Lord, thank you. Listen, there is always something to thank God for. People say, how are you doing today? I'll say, I'm doing well, right? And you can have a lot of problems going on in your life. But you know what always comes to my mind? You know where I could be this morning? And you know where you could be this morning? We could be in some gutter in India looking for breakfast this morning, digging through piles of trash. No, this is literally how some people live every day in this world, right? You don't have to go all the way to India. Boy, we got it pretty good, don't we? No, we really do. And absolutely. Rejoice in the Lord. Look at verse 13 through 15. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is great a God is our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. You notice what he's chewing on now? That word Selah, he was meditating. Before he was meditating on all of his problems. But he has changed his mind now. He has changed his thinking. He has focused his mind on the goodness of God. And now he goes, I'm going to just dwell on this for a little while. I'm going to meditate on the goodness of God. I like that. Philippians 4:4. What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It's a choice. There's a choice to rejoice. You like that? I like that. Write that down. Put a bumper sticker. That'd be a good bumper sticker. A choice. You have a choice to rejoice. And we absolutely do. When we can't find anything else to rejoice in, when everything around you seems like it might be hopeless, we can always find a reason to rejoice in God and His unchanging love for us. If you're saved here this morning, can I tell you, you are eternally secure in Christ. Doesn't matter what happens here. Doesn't matter. Listen, if you, quote, fail at life and mess everything up and everything goes wrong and you never achieve what you thought you were going to achieve, you're still a child of God. You're still loved by Jesus Christ. He still wants you and wanted you. And He still said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen, life can be totally upside down. Do you think our forefathers, or the early Christians, you think they had a nice life? Being burned at the stake. Do you know what that was? They put up a telephone pole in the ground and they tied them to it. This is literal. Go look at history. And they tied them to it and they brought all of these sticks in and they lit a fire and they burnt their living, breathing bodies until they died with fire. Boy, that was rough. We're never going to experience, I don't think we'd ever experience that in this life. Yeah. You know what Polycarp said? "86 years has he done me no wrong while he was burning at the stake." Let me give you a little background. Why was he burning at the stake? Well, they refused to recant their relationship in Jesus Christ. Yeah. And they killed him. It was incredible. He found something to rejoice in. Listen, if they can find something to rejoice in while they're being tortured and murdered and executed, I dare say we could probably find something to rejoice in and our little problem. I've mentioned before several times Richard Warmbrandt's book called Tortured for Christ. He suffered greatly in Romania while communism took over. And don't let anybody tell you that the religion has killed people and religion is murderous and this. Oh my goodness. Nobody has killed more than the atheists and communists of this world. Pol Pot killed up to 100 million alone in China. Hitler is responsible for he only gets tagged for about 6 million, right? Stalin is responsible for at least 25 million Ukrainians. Every one of these were godless atheists and communists. They hated God. And they lived in some horrendous times. And one of the illustrations and one of the events in the book that Richard Warmbrandt lived, and he lived through this, and he lived through the prisons and the torture as a pastor through this time in the 30s and the 40s and such. And one of the events he wrote in his book was a young lady that was on her wedding day, young Christian girl on her wedding day, and the Nazis came in and they dragged her out of there and they put her in chains and they dragged her out. And her response in effect was, you know, what a better day than on my wedding day to meet Christ. She knew she was going to be, she knew she was, her end was death. And you know what she was doing? She was rejoicing in God who she was about to see face to face. I tell you what, listen, Psalm 77, look at verse 19. Thy way is in the sea, thy path is the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Yeah, thy footsteps are not known. You know what it is about paths in the sea? Paths in the water? You can't tell where they've come from. When you see a ship, you can see a wake for a little while, but you don't know exactly which way it came from. Right? The water eventually goes back and dissipates. You might be living in a place right now, this morning in life, and it seems like God is distant and He's not there. You don't see His footsteps. You don't see where He is. Right? You're like Job. I've looked for Him in front of me. I've looked for Him behind me. I can't find Him, Job said. That's how you feel this morning. Let me remind you this morning, rejoice in this, would you please? He's there. He's aware. He hasn't left. He's absolutely there. And He allows things in our life. Listen, they're only allowed to build us, not to break us. And it's up to us to trust Him so we don't allow the bitterness and then the depression and the discouragement to come into our life. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. It is possible to get out of depression. It absolutely is. The world's going to tell you, take this medication or go to this person and go to this drink over here, or go to this medication, or go to this, or go to that. And I'm not against medication. But most of the problems, 90% of the problems, can be solved in our relationship with Jesus Christ if we had focused our mind correctly back on the truth of the Word of God, not what we think is going on out here. You can get over it. You can get over it. Absolutely. Yeah, we thank the Lord for that. Father, we close out this morning and we thank You for the just the truth of Your Word, that we can rise above the discouragement and the clouds of darkness and the depression that comes into our life. We all get it. It all comes to us. Nobody gets out of life without going through dark times and troubles and trials and tribulations. We all do. But I'm thankful, Father. I'm thankful, Lord, that You are completely aware. So, Lord, would You help us to turn our minds to You Lord, that we would see things biblically and correctly. Lord, that you would help us to just put an end to the bitternesses and the discouragements and the disillusionments that we've allowed in our life, and trust you in what you've been allowing, knowing that it's for a purpose, and you're refining us. You promised to make us like Jesus, and there's no way that we could hope to be like Jesus and escape any type of trial or tribulation, especially when we look at what Jesus Himself endured for us. So, Father, would you encourage us today? We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may do what you want for 10 minutes. So.